It was growing on me that the only safe way out, or the least risky, was to find some way of doing what Sapton had wanted. How could I get the drawbridge down? Would I survive the assault that would follow? Aye, but for the moment, pretend.
"Could we make certain of Sapton and Grundvig?" I asked doubtfully.
"Be sure of that," says he. "There are two little cannon below stairs, ornamental things, but they'll work. Load 'em with chain, and we'll sweep that causeway from end to end when the rescuers come charging home. There are 50 of them, remember. Have you enough here to man the guns and hold the place until we can get away? Two of us, the three you saw in the cellar, and another three in the tower," says he. "Then there are two on the causeway, but they'll go in the first rush. They needn't concern us."
Oh, he was a born leader, all right. But now I knew how many men he had, and where they were. The vital fact was that there was no one apparently guarding the drawbridge mechanism on the inside.
"So," he cried, "you're with me?"
"Well," says I doubtfully, "if we can be sure of holding those damn vaultings on the bridge long enough,
we'll concentrate all our force by the guns at the drawbridge arch," says he. "Why, we can have all ready in half an hour, and then down for the bridge, and let the flies come streaming towards our parlour."
His eyes were shining with excitement, and he put out his hand.
"And then, my friend, we embark on our profitable partnership."
Suddenly it struck me that it was now or never. He wouldn't move fast, and somehow I had to forestall him while his small forces were still scattered about the castle and all unsuspecting. I fought down my rising fear of what was to do, steeling myself for a desperate effort. My hand was sweating in his grasp.
"Let's drink to it,"
cries he exultantly, and turned to the table where the bottle stood. "Oh, Jesus, good luck to me," I thought. I moved up to his side, and as he splashed brandy into the glasses, I made a swift examination of the other bottle standing by. A sturdy flask caught my eye, and I made a careless show of examining it, turning it by the neck to see the label. He was so confident in his youth and strength and arrogance that he never thought of being caught off guard. Why should he worry in a castle held by his men, with only the feeble-spirited Flashman to be watched? "Here," says he, turning with a glass, and I breathed a silent prayer, shifted my hand on the bottle neck, and swung it with all my force at his head. He saw the movement, but had no time to duck. The flask shattered on his temple with an explosion like a pistol shot, and he staggered back, wine drenching his hair and tunic, and hurtled full length to the floor. I was beside him in a flash, but he was dead to the world with a great ugly gash welling blood among his curls. For a few seconds I waited, listening, but there was no sound from without. I rose, my heart pounding, and strode quickly across the room, pausing only to take up a sabre from a rack in the corner. I'd done it now, and was in a state of active funk, but there was nothing for it but to hurry ahead and hope.